should always be fun. Should make you happy.
What's going on, guys? You are now listening to the Lean Dad Podcast for dads who want to lose weight and become a healthy role model for their kids. I'm your host, Patrick Ryan. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to be here. Now, let's dive in, my friends. This episode was the now second part in the Mastering the Basics series that I have going on in talking and expanding in greater detail around one particular habit that should be the next foundation in your weight loss journey through eating slowly. I spent some time diving a little bit deeper into what the heck that is, why you should be focusing more time, attention, and energy on the how you eat, as opposed to focusing all your energy on just what you eat. So let's hop in, check it out, and enjoy the ride. Welcome and happy day to everybody taking the time to listen in. This is indeed another episode of the Lean Dad Podcast. Welcome, Lean Dad Podcast Army Nation Movement. It's good to be with you all here today. Today's episode is going to be another episode tied to the Mastering the Basics series that we have now begun. And one thing I'm really enjoying about these particular episodes and recording them is, y'all should know this by now, I'm never going to blow smoke up your skirt, and I'm going to be guiding you through the basics, which are the most important pieces that you need to be integrating into your weight loss routine, your journey, your life practice, et cetera, when it comes to getting healthier in some way, shape, or form. So as we continue diving into the basics, as we dive into more episodes in the future, just the best way I would encourage you all to think about this and think about these basic elements and basic practices and basic concepts is, we'll just use a food, now that I'm thinking of it, we'll just use a food analogy here. Just think about you are now embarking upon building the best cake imaginable. It's a multi-layered cake. Okay, so the first episode that aired not too long ago, the Mastering the Basics episode, was building that solid foundational layer, cake layer of self-compassion. And that's going to be the structural framework to build off of. And then as time goes on, we're going to continue to add multiple layers to this cake of other basic practices that should be considered in implementing and adding to your own cake. So this next basic element and basic concept and practice that we're going to expand on here a little bit today is rooted in how you eat. Think about that. How often, when it comes to losing weight, getting healthier, anything of that sort, how often have you really thought about how you eat? Because I would argue, I've been coaching people for quite a while, most people don't know how to eat. And I'm sure you're listening to this and you're thinking, well, Pat, you're an idiot. Of course I know how to eat. I get my fork, I stab whatever it is I'm about to eat, and I shove it in my face, and I chew, and then I swallow, and then life's good. That's how you eat. Yeah, that's one way. But when it comes to actually becoming more mindful and actually having an understanding of how you eat, influencing your weight, influencing your relationship with food, or perpetuating your relationship that you may not be conscious of, the relationship you have with your food, is an entirely different story. So the primary basic habit we're gonna talk about today is eating slowly. And this is me as your coach advocating on behalf of the how you eat. And the reason I say that is because time and time again, I speak with so many people that are so caught up in the what we eat. And yes, what we eat plays a valuable role. What we eat is important to pay attention to. However, we're skipping steps, or I feel many of us are unconsciously skipping to, say, second or third base when we haven't even gotten or covered the groundwork and knowing how to get to first base. And first base is being represented by the how we eat, and it's being represented by learning the fundamental tools and framework in understanding how to eat slowly. And the reason I say that is primarily because more often than not, we tend to struggle a lot of the time with control, right? In feeling like in order to lose weight, in order to get to wherever we're wanting to go, we've got to be in such strict control of what we eat all the time. And I will again be the bearer of bad news here in reminding everybody, you're not going to have control over what you eat all the time. Yes, you may have control, and as you continue to work on it, you're likely going to be able to have control over what you eat, say 80, 85, maybe 90% of the time. But I think it's important to strategically integrate some reliable amount of wiggle room in the area, whether it's the 15, the 20, the 30% of the time, where you are not going to have control over what you eat. And in those instances, these habits, or this habit primarily in how you eat and how you eat slowly, can be a fundamental tool in giving you control over how you eat, because you can always control how you eat, regardless of whether or not you're eating something that's not as healthy or you're eating something that is more healthy. But this eating slowly habit that I work with and coach all of my clients through is foundational. That's why it's the second piece of the equation in this foundational framework of, or this cake that you're building, so to speak, because it's really, really meant to be there in such a way to help break the mental stigma that we have in believing that if we're not in control of the food that we eat all the time, that birthday parties, holidays, weekends are always going to be synonymous with falling off track, regaining weight, and stuff of that sort. So knowing that we can always be in control of, we can always be in control of how we eat, continues to give us a leg up, and it continues to give us the opportunity in knowing that we are in control. It's just looking at it through a different framework and understanding and being realistic and knowing that we're not going to always be in control of what we eat. For many of the dads that I coach, they've got kiddos. There's stuff going on all the time. It's not nearly as quote unquote stable, or mainly, I guess you could say, predictable of a day framework, a week, a month that might be preferred. And this is where we've got to develop. We have to develop a better amount, or a greater amount, I guess you could say, of situational awareness and understanding that you're not going to be in control of what you eat all the time. And if you continue focusing a lot of time, attention, and energy in worrying about whether or not you're always going to be in control of what you eat, you're going to continue to perpetuate a significant deal of unnecessary and preventable anxiety and strain and struggle over your day-to-day eating, over your week-to-week, your month-to-month eating. You get the gist of things, that it's gonna perpetuate the same cycle of eating and thought patterns that you have been in and are trying to get out of for the longest time. So this is where focusing on the how you eat can be really, really beneficial. So let's go ahead and hop in here. So eating slowly, why is that beneficial? Why is that something that's worth considering? Well, much like I said, you're not going to have control over what you eat all the time. So this is really, really focusing on paying attention to these things in the context of mainly thinking about the instances first and foremost where what you eat might not be as readily controlled. You know, thinking about these areas and these circumstances that have always in your mind and in your life been synonymous with falling off track. So this is where I'm going to encourage you to do a little bit of a thought exercise and thinking about the weekends, the vacations, the holiday parties, whatever it might be, thinking about and starting to kind of visualize yourself being in these situations that otherwise can make you feel a little bit anxious, feel a little bit worried, and perpetuate this kind of hamster wheel of an experience that you've had with your eating. So eating slowly, it's going to be beneficial in the sense that it can be utilized and it should be utilized regardless of the quality of the food that you're eating. So whether you're out eating I'll just use myself as an example. If you're out at Blake's Lotaburger eating a, it's a combo. Yeah, I order off the kids menu. We'll talk about that another time. But whether you're eating a lot of combo, it's a combo, whatever, you know that you've got control over the tempo of your eating and the pace of your eating in such a way that it doesn't allow you, or you don't allow yourself to overeat and put yourself in what is known as a caloric surplus. And the same is going to be utilized when you're eating more quality foods, because you can, newsflash, you can still overeat quality food items and foods that are better for you, and they still can make you gain weight because you're still putting yourself in a caloric surplus. So the eating slowly habit, the best way that I can start with this is everything, primarily when it comes to each instance that you're sitting down and eating, think about set and setting. Start thinking about your environment. Start thinking about the environment that encapsulates each meal. And I say this encouraging you to know that obviously not every single time you eat is going to be, you're not going to have the opportunity just to sit down at a table and it be quiet all the time and it just be this peaceful dining experience. I want to get that make that very clear that I'm not expecting it to be perfect every single time, but I'm always going to be here to plant seeds and plant seeds of thought and just encouraging you to think about, what does my environment look like, and is my environment conducive to me being present with my meal? Because many of us aren't. Just because our internet is fast and just because we like to drive fast and our commutes are fast, stuff of that sort does not mean to any stretch of the imagination, does not mean that our dining experiences and our consumption of food needs to be fast. The reason I say that is because the vast majority of us are rushed. We live in a very rushed life, and some of those are necessary and some of those are unnecessary. And I would continue to argue that our dining experiences, whether it be a lunch, a breakfast, a dinner, a snack, anything, any time that we're taking, consuming a meal, needs to have the brakes pumped a little bit. And really utilizing and reframing each dining experience as an opportunity. This is why we have lunch breaks. And using it and viewing it as a break from the rush of the day, the rush of the week, the rush of the month that we're constantly experiencing, and not allowing our dining experiences to just continue to expedite or I guess you'd say perpetuate the rush state that we're always in. They can be a break and an opportunity for reprieve from the rush, the day-to-day rush that we're constantly finding ourselves in. So thinking about that first and foremost around, what's my environment look like? Is it conducive to being in a rushed state? Is it conducive to actually giving myself the opportunity to take my time? And what that tends to allude to for most of us is we start paying attention to our surroundings. Many of us are not unfamiliar with being on our phones while we eat, and watching TV while we eat, eating at our desks while we, being at our desks while we eat, sitting and having our laptop maybe on our lap or right in front of us while we eat. And this is going to be an instance where I'm going to encourage you to play around with not having those things right in front of your face while you eat. I like to use I call it the hot date analogy. So whenever you're out on a hot date, you've met somebody, you're really attracted to them, your attention needs to be on them, you're excited to be in front of them and to be with them. Well, how well do you think that date is going to go if they're sitting across the table from you and you're sitting there on your phone the entire time? Yeah, you'll take some time every once in a while to look up and acknowledge them and reply and respond, but 60-70+% of the time you're on your phone texting. Your attention is away from the thing that should be given the most amount of attention during that point in time. And that's how I would encourage you to think about your eating. Because if you're on your phone during that date, do you think the date's going to go very well? How likely do you think it is that you're going to get a second or a third date? It's not very likely. So your food needs to be viewed, or I would encourage you to view your food through a very, very similar lens. Attention needs to be paid to it. This is quite literally what's nourishing you. Whether it's a not as healthy food item or a more healthy food item, regardless, that doesn't matter right now. The fact is, it is nourishing you, and your attention needs to be paid to it. The reason I say that is for a multitude of reasons. One, most of you are eating in a rush state, so you're eating your meal in, say, 5 minutes or less, or under 10 minutes, and that's a problem. Because the faster you eat your food, like, and this is something that always fascinates me, because, and this is why we're focusing on the basics. We just got done with 4th of July. What do they do during 4th of July? They have the hot dog eating contest. What are they fighting against? They're fighting against time, okay? The reason they're eating as fast as humanly possible is because they are trying to, I don't even want to call it outsmart. They're just trying to beat their own biological clock when it comes to how our digestive systems work. Okay, so many of you may know this, many of you may not know this, but I'm just going to go through a brief kind of lesson with you all here. So when you're consuming a food item, generally speaking, it takes anywhere from 15 to 20 minutes for the food that you had just chewed up and swallowed to travel down your esophagus into and make its way into your stomach for it to start being digested. Okay, so with us constantly being in this rush state, I don't want to draw the exact parallel, but thinking about the hot dog eating contest is, I don't even know what the record is right now, but I don't even know what the time limit is on the contest, but my guess is it's within like a 10 or 15 minute time span. So they're eating as fast as humanly possible because they're trying to bypass this biological timer that we have, this physiological timer we have of food we're consuming, making our way down to our esophagus, into our stomach. Obviously, these individuals are highly trained, and their stomachs are able to actually expand to a much greater capacity than us average Joes, but I hope this helps give us a better idea as to what we may be doing on a much smaller, more acute scale when it comes to eating really, really fast, as well as our environment perpetuating a quickened state of consumption of food. So it takes 15 to 20 minutes for any amount of food that you consume to make its way from your mouth to your stomach. Okay, so this is why I really think it's important to pay attention to your set and setting, because if you're going through a busy day, things are fast, we're human, we tend to feel like, well, in order to slow things down, we've got to push harder and work even faster, when more often than not, it's going to be important for us to take the time to actually take a deep breath, take a break, and view maybe our dining experiences as just that, a break, and as an opportunity for us to stop, slow down, get off our phone, and decompress in a different way. And actually being able to take our time, slow down to such a point and such a degree to where we actually, I don't know, taste our food. Because many of us are eating so fast, you're actually missing out on one of the most fun parts of eating, in actually tasting the food. when you make love to somebody, do you want it to be fast and quick? More often than not, no. You want to take your time. You want to draw that out. You want it to be a long, fun, sensory driven experience. And I tend to view our consumption of food as no different. Take your time with it. Don't rush. Take a bite. Put your food down. Put your utensils down. Chew the food. I like to always go to an imaginative state of mind. Imagine you're a food critic. You're tasting the food. You're paying attention to the textures. You're paying attention to the flavors. You're picking up different spices or different flavor notes. I think you kind of get the feel of things. And allowing you to pay closer attention to what you're consuming and what you're noticing about it. And again, I coach my clients through the same. I've coached myself through the same thing I've coached my clients through. And what you'll come to find, or what I've come to find, is meals that I would eat the same things or same type of things every day or so. And when I took the time to actually slow down my eating and slow down my tempo of eating, I would actually pick up more flavor from what I was consuming, as opposed to just rushing through it, chomping away, swallowing my food, and just getting on with things. So I think that's a good area to pay close attention to first and foremost, is you're likely going to pick up more flavor because your attention is being paid to it. You've stopped having your laptop in front of you. You put your phone in a different part of the room, or you leave it at the office. You don't have a TV on. You're creating a setting and you're creating an environment that's conducive to just paying attention to what you're consuming. And what you're going to come to find, and as I'm talking about this, I'm realizing this might be best as a multi-part series when it comes to slowing down of eating, but this at least plants a seed, is there's going to be a cascade effect, or you're going to continue to graduate into becoming more aware and more conscious of other things as a result of slowing down your eating. So first, you're likely going to start noticing that, wow, the flavor profile of what I'm eating is different because I'm not rushing through it. And that has come as a result of you creating an environment that's conducive to that, and not being on your phone, not being on your laptop, et cetera, et cetera. And then as time goes on, as you continue to practice that, because newsflash, the best part about this is you're going to get plenty of practice. You're going to have plenty of meals that you're going to consume in the future to work on practicing this and integrating this on a more conscious level. So as the slowing down habit becomes a little bit more of an, I guess you could say, involuntary thing for you, you can start diving into, and we'll touch on this later on the podcast, you'll start getting a better sense of your hunger cues and your fullness cues. And this kind of ties into what I was talking about earlier, to where typically for most of us, I get it, and I get where most of us are coming from in trying to maybe meticulously log our calories. That way we know exactly how much we're eating and how many calories we're eating. And I'm sure that works well for many people, and I would encourage people to try that if that's something they want to do. But in my professional opinion, this is where I think you can actually do this kind of restricting, or modifying, or monitoring is actually a better word, monitoring your calorie consumption in a much more mindful and seamless way without even having to be on your phone. Because when we're in this rushed state and we're eating food really, really quickly, it's important to take into account most days of the week we're moving really fast. And then that ends up carrying over into many of our dining experiences. So we're eating really fast. We're going into each meal in a rushed, kind of more hyper-stressed state. And food can be a soothing experience for many of us. I don't think many of us are outside of that type of an experience. So with food being a soothing thing for many of us, we're going into many of our dining experiences in a very rushed state. So we're eating our food fast, hoping that it'll help satiate us, hoping that it will help calm us down. But what ends up happening is we eat say we've got an entire meal in front of us. We finish it in 5 minutes, and we expect for some reason, and I think this is due in part to many of us not knowing how our own basic physiology works and how our digestive system works. We eat the meal quickly within 5 minutes or less, or 10 minutes or less. And for some reason, we automatically just assume or are sitting there waiting to become satiated immediately. And that's not how it works. So we finish the meal. We're waiting for this satiated feeling to happen immediately. It doesn't happen. So then we justify, oh, okay, well, then I need to eat more. So then you do another 5 minute bout of eating food. At that point, you've eaten likely 2 servings, depending on how quickly you've eaten it. You maybe have eaten 2.5, 3 servings in this course of maybe 10, 20 minutes. And then, okay, that 20 minute timer has come up. Your biological timer, your digestive timer has come up. And that's when you actually start feeling the food making its way into your stomach, filling your stomach and making you feel at this point overfull and overstuffed. And this is where this continual habit that many of you deal with of overeating and constantly being in a caloric surplus comes into place. So you end up eating far more calories than you needed for that particular meal, and for many of us for that particular set of meals, that you're constantly putting yourself in an unnecessary caloric surplus. Whereas if you had taken the time to take a deep breath, put any amount of distraction away from you, your phone, your TV, your laptop, and literally just focus on the act of eating, playing around with putting your utensils down in between bites, playing around with having water available and drinking water in between bites to help cleanse your palate and help you kind of take a break in between bites, as opposed to it being like this miniature 4th of July hot dog eating contest, and giving you the opportunity just to slow down and not rush such an awesome experience, and having the incredible opportunity to eat another meal. And creating an environment and creating a setting that's conducive to taking your time and not rushing. Because we'll talk about this in later episodes in talking about what I like to coach my clients through in more of an 80% full dynamic, is what'll end up happening as time goes on, is as you slow down your eating, you'll be more in touch with your fullness cues. You'll be more in touch with what true, quote unquote, being truly satiated looks and feels like. And you'll actually be able to put yourself in a caloric deficit without even having to track calories, without even having to have your phone in front of you, all while being able just to truly listen to your body. So in I guess in this first instance is just planting a seed of taking a compassionate inventory of your environment, taking a compassionate inventory of what types of distractions you may or may not have in front of you with your dining experiences, and how you can possibly make subtle tweaks and adjustments to this. And I want to encourage everybody to keep in mind, this takes time. This is not going to happen in the matter of a week. This is not going to happen. Likely, it's not going to stick in necessarily the matter of a month, or some of us many months. You know, I'll use myself as an example. If you're 30, 31 years old, you've got 30, 31, however old you are, you've got that many years of conditioning around how you eat, how you were raised to eat, the cultural elements and the cultural elements that within your family that support your type of eating. And, you know, I'm not going to go too far down the rabbit hole, but obviously how you were taught to eat based on your family, your parents, your environment. There's a lot that's going to be influencing your style and your pace of eating. So this is where I think it's important just to plant some seeds here to think about, why do I eat the way that I eat? Because if we're constantly focusing so much time and energy on what we eat all the time, you are literally only paying attention to a small percentage of the journey, a small percentage of the equation. And you're likely just going to continue to move and circle this similar drain of restricting your eating to, yep, super quote unquote clean foods, all that kind of stuff. But when it comes to actually putting these things into practice in the real world, i.e. going out to parties, being social, going out and eating, going and enjoying the other environments and avenues that are tied to food, it falls apart. So keep that in mind, my friends. Think about how do you eat. Start thinking about how you eat before you even start to think about what you eat. Because if you have not taken care of the how, changing the what is not likely going to improve things long term. So think about that. So I'll leave it there. I'm interested to hear everybody's thoughts. Don't hesitate to touch base with me on Instagram. I'm at aware_lifeabq. Shoot me messages, thoughts, questions, concerns, all that kind of stuff. This is definitely something that's going to continue to take some time to, I guess you'd say, unfold and unravel. But I wanted to start touching on this and planting this seed. So slow it down. Slow and low, slow and steady wins the race. The tortoise and the hare, think about that. When you're eating, you want to be the tortoise. You don't want to be the hare. And I would say in many dimensions of life, you kind of want to be the tortoise. You want to be able to just to take your time. And especially when it comes to eating, take your time. There's nothing wrong with leaving leftovers on your plate to be used for another meal. But slow it down, be present with your meal, and summon some amount of slow and steady gratitude for the fact that you're taking your time to be present and actually enjoying the meal as opposed to just constantly rushing through it. So I'll leave you all with that. We'll talk soon. Much love, y'all. Bye-bye. Once again, thank you so much for carving out the time to hear what was shared on today's podcast. Now, if what you heard today resonates with you, and you'd like to continue the conversation, then I'd be happy to personally invite you to join our private Facebook community with countless other dads like yourself who are on this journey with you. All you have to do is go to facebook.com/groups/leandadproject, click the join button at the top of the page, and you're good to go. Again, that's facebook.com/groups/leandadproject. And by the way, the link to the Facebook group is in the show notes too, so be sure to check that out. All right, my friends, that's it for today. In the meantime, love one another, take care of one another, and please, please, please be grateful for each other. Much love, my friends. Cheers.